We're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mantra Lila, chapter 19, entitled The Lord Instructs Sila Rupa Goswami, text number 176. Bhukti,
bhukti
for material enjoyment.
Bhukti,
bhukti, and for liberation from material existence.
And for liberation from material existence.
Spriha,
spriha,
desire.
Desire.
Yavat,
yavat,
as long as.
As long as.
Pishachi,
pishachi,
the witches.
The witches.
Hridi,
hridi,
within the heart.
Within the heart.
Vartate,
vartate,
remain.
Remain.
Tavat,
tavat,
that long.
That long.
Bhakti,
bhakti,
of devotional service.
Of devotional service.
Sukhasya,
sukhasya,
of the happiness.
Of the happiness.
Atra,
atra,
here.
Here.
Katam,
katam,
how.
How.
Abhyudayaha,
abhyudayaha,
awakening.
Awakening.
Bhavet,
bhavet,
can there be.
Can there be.
Translation. The material desire to enjoy the material world and the desire to become liberated from material bondage are considered to be two witches, and they haunt one like ghosts. As long as these witches remain within the heart, how can one feel transcendental bliss? As long as these two witches remain in the heart, there's no possibility of enjoying the transcendental bliss of devotional service. This verse is found in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.22. We were around at his house of the Rup all last night celebrating the victory. And now we had a program, so if I fall asleep during the class, don't bother, just go on chanting. Generally, when we think of a witch, we think of someone who's expert at spells. And in fact, there are male witches also. It's not only that there are female witches riding on brooms, but Prabhupada said even to this day there are witches in India, in certain northern parts of India there are witches, and they do ride on not broomsticks, but I don't think they have broomsticks in India. Jharu, but not exactly a broomstick, but they can fly in the sky. And we know Putana was one such witch. They have the ability to bewilder. So here, the desire for material enjoyment, bhukti, and the desire for mukti are compared to two witches, which block our progress in spiritual life. Therefore, it is said, anyavilasita shunyam jnana karma dhyanavartam anukuryena krishnanushilanam bhaktirupam. Pure devotional service to Krishna, which is ahoituki and apratyatha, it is unmotivated and it is uninterrupted. Such devotional service can be attained by someone who is free from these desires. And Kunti Devi also expresses very nicely that Janma, Aishwarya, Sutta, Srivir, Edamana, Mada, Puman, Naivahati, Avidatum, Vai, Tvama, Kinshana, Gocharam. A real no desire for good birth. Even in this lifetime, there were many great devotees. One who comes to mind especially is Raghunath Das Goswami, but practically all of the Goswamis. But Raghunath especially was born in a very wealthy family, very high business family. But he rejected his so-called good birth. So not only does a devotee not desire in the future, but even in this life, he considers his so-called birth in a good family as useless in terms of his being able to achieve pure devotional service. It's not a qualification. So janma aishwarya, material opulence, you cannot buy your way into the kingdom of God. I'm reminded of a well-wisher and good man. He was one of the League of Devotees who first donated to Srila Prabhupada in Bombay to send Srila Prabhupada to America. So he once approached Prabhupada later on in the early 70s, and he told the story of Tirupati, how the temple itself in the early 1900s was not such a famous temple as it is today. Today, hundreds of thousands of people visit, and on different ekadasis and special festivals, it is non-stop all day long, hundreds of thousands of people in a day. And people donate huge sums of money. Everyone, practically, who goes there shaves their head and offers their hair. The ladies also shave their heads and offer their hair, which many of them have toiled over and combed and cultivated for years together. And then they shave it all off and offer it to Balaji. So it's a very wonderful temple, and they make huge collections. You can imagine the one crown for Balaji that I saw is worth $7 million, just the crown itself with all the jewelry, all these stones in it, gemstones. So he said that the pujaris, they began spreading stories amongst the people. If you have any work to do, you just give some donation to Balaji and your work will be done. If you want your son to pass an exam, or your wife is pregnant and you want a boy or a girl, or whatever it is, you have a business deal and you want success, you just give a donation to Balaji and your work will be done. And of course, a certain percentage were successful. They got their work done. And they told others that what a miracle had happened. And those who didn't get maybe 50% or more, they just went away. Ah, humbug, you know, don't believe in this. But they didn't make any movement or cause any disturbance. They just went away. But those who got something, they made sure they told at least 20 people. So in that way, the fame of the deity spread. So Mr. Mota told Prabhupada, so your pujaris, they should just spread some stories amongst the people. That if you have any work to be done, you just give donations to Radharas Bihari, and your temple will grow and grow and grow. And Prabhupada's reply was, my God does not accept bribes. So, you cannot bribe your way back into the spiritual world. You cannot offer Krishna anything that he is not the source of and has more than anyone. He is the proprietor of everything. Loka Maheshwaram, what is that?
Yeah.
He's the controller of all the different planetary systems. Bhoktaram Yatyatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. So Janma Aishwarya, Sruta, education. Krishna knows everything. Sri is the most beautiful, the most wealthy. So a devotee is not interested in these things. He is akinchana or niskinchana. Because Krishna is gochara. He's purchased by someone who has no material desires. Krishna becomes purchased by such unmotivated love. And you can't develop such loving sentiments by any material formula. Love is not, pure love is not a material attribute. It's not a result of doing so many gayatris or doing X number of parikramas, dandavat parikramas of Govardhan. Pure love comes when one gives up all pretension, sarva dharman parityaja, when one surrenders fully to Krishna. So this prayer of Kunti Devi expresses the mood of a devotee. And if one maintains these desires, how do we all have these desires. We come to Krishna consciousness with a lot of extra baggage when you travel. No, because my cloth is very less. You know, besides what I'm wearing, I have two other sets of cloth. One is being washed, and you know, whatever, and one is spare just in case one gets ripped or something happens. So I carry very little cloth. But, you know, there's my computer, and there's this, and there's that. It adds up to two suitcases, and it's a problem when traveling. I'm always in anxiety whether I'll be overweight at the check-in counter. It's really a botheration to travel with extra luggage, and that's what we're doing in devotional service when we maintain material attachments, and that is one of the offenses in chanting the holy names of the Lord, to maintain material attachments even while understanding so many instructions in this matter. Certainly we have to give up our madness, pishachi paileyena, mati channahoya. One becomes mad, pramatta, ghostly haunted, bewitched, bewildered. He loses his path, cannot understand, pravritim cha nivritim cha. Janana vidurasa, he does not know what is the right course of action, what to do and what not to do, simply because of strong material desires. They may be prominent and obvious, or they may be somewhat concealed and not so obvious. But as long as they're allowed to fester within the heart, they're like weeds that choke the devotional creeper. And as good gardeners, we have to cut down at the very root these weeds. When you water a garden, the rose bushes, the nice flowers, they grow, but also weeds grow. Weeds also can grow from the watering process. So along with chanting Hare Krishna, along with practicing devotional service, we should understand what are good plants and what are plants that will be obstacles, what are weeds. Generally, when we talk about material enjoyment, we're talking about ahar, nidra, bhai, maitam. Dharmena hina pashubhi samana. Real activity of the soul is to pursue dharma, sanatan dharma. But when one is captured by the desire for nice eating, ahar, after all, what can you eat? You can, no matter what you do in life, no matter how much money or fame or fortune you get, you can only eat so many chapatis, 2, 3, 4 chapatis. Doesn't matter whether you live in a big, wealthy house or a poor house. In fact, sometimes people who live in wealthy houses can't enjoy their wealth. I'm reminded of Mr. John Paul Getty. You may not have heard of him, but years ago he was the wealthiest man in the world. He was a shipping magnate like Onassis. Onassis is another example. John Paul Getty, he was such a heavy person that he used to have a pay telephone in the waiting room where his friends who would come to meet him would wait before being able to. It was a paid telephone. He was that much of a Scrooge. Well, he had a lot of money, but he went through such anxiety to acquire that money. And you see this happens. People are prepared to commit any abominable activity to fulfill lusty desires. Yagato Vishayam Pungsa Sangasteshu Pujayate Sangatsan Jayate Kama Kama Krodo Vidayate Krodo Bhavati Sammoha. One becomes bewildered, one becomes angry at the frustration of material desires. Now, I've said this before, but I'll say it again. I sound like a broken tape recorder. I have been in many lectures where Srila Prabhupada was speaking in Vrindavan, in Bombay, in Los Angeles, in Mayapur. And he would be speaking and the deity doors would open. Prabhupada wouldn't stop speaking. At very best, most of the time, he didn't even pause. But he said that this is fine. There's no need to stop the course of the lecture or disturb the train of thought of the speaker to give eye darshan. So you're having eye darshan. Maybe Krishna's speaking to some of you, I don't know. But mostly it's just eye darshan. You're already giving ear darshan to Shabda Brahma, Krishna consciousness, from Srimad Bhagavatam. So, ear darshan is infinitely more important than eye darshan. And Prabhupada told us in Bombay that people come just to see the deities and don't hear the sound of the holy names, they don't hear transcendental sound, then their so-called darshan of the deities is not very important. So the reason for coming to a holy place is not to take bath or see a deity. That is less important. The most important thing is to associate with saintly persons. And the reason for doing that is to hear transcendental sound, which will affect our lives. So even if it's only out of a desire to be correct in one's action, even if, you know, you don't consider that I have anything important to say, which I probably don't. But still, out of etiquette, it's good to fall with the transcendental process, because by, just like, for example, a wife. Now, this is a question which comes up all the time, and generally speaking, it is understood that the wife should serve her husband. In fact, it is Indian culture of yesteryear, in previous times, that a wife would consider her husband as her swami. In fact, even today, in some parts of India, women call their husband their swami. It means he is their connection with Krishna. So, but even if they don't like certain things about their husband, or even, just like the other day, I was giving an example to a group of people, and I was talking how love develops. Somebody asked me, how do you develop love of God? And so I explained about arranged marriages, and most of the people said, they were an older group of people, most of them said that their marriages were arranged marriages. And so I was asked the loaded question, how many of you love your spouses? Not so many hands went up. I Ramananda just said they were shy. But it is a fact, through service, one develops transcendental love. Or not transcendental love, that also, but even mundane love. Love of husband, love of wife develops through service. It may not be there at the time of the arrangement, but the training is there, that the husband serves the wife in certain ways, and the wife is generally considered to be the prakriti. She is enjoyed by the husband. Whatever she does, her cooking, the way she keeps the house, the way she takes care of his children, whatever, he enjoys, and she endeavors to please him. So the point is that if a wife just does her duty to serve her husband, even though she may not feel that she experiences Hollywood-esque type of love for her husband, she's not swept away, you know, by his great masculinity and his virility and his swashbuckling character. Even if she doesn't see that in her husband, but if she serves her husband, Krishna will see. And that is one kind of perfection. So, in the same way, we have our process of devotional service. And we follow that process even though we may not always experience the highest kind of ecstasy. But we do it because we have understood intelligently that this is the path leading us back to Godhead. This is the path that will bring out in us those devotional sentiments which will give us attachment for the transcendental Lord, which will save us at the time of death. Because ante narayana smritihi, how on earth are we ever going to remember God at the time of death if we don't have any attachment? We must develop attachment, and to do that, siddhyante hridaya grantis sarva sankshaya. We have to cut the knot of material attachment in the heart. Somehow we have to cut it. And of course that can be achieved by following the process of bhakti yoga. So I'm going to, kind of, for verse with no purport, it kind of extended. I go on to the next verse.
Sadhana bhakti hoite hoy ratri ra udaya ratikata vaileta prema nama koya.
By regularly rendering devotional service, one gradually becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When that attachment is intensified, it becomes love of Godhead. You see, I didn't even read the next verse, but it confirms what I was saying. By regularly rendering devotional service, one gradually develops attachment and love. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.2 gives the following information about sadhana bhakti. Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhavasa sadhana vidha nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakrityam hriti sadhya. The process of devotional service beginning with chanting and hearing is called sadhana bhakti. This includes the regulative principles that are intended to awaken one to devotional service. Devotional service is always dormant in everyone's heart, and by the offenseless chanting of the holy names of the Lord, one's original dormant Krishna consciousness is awakened. This awakening to Krishna consciousness is the beginning of sadhana bhakti. This can be divided into many different parts, including faith, association with devotees, initiation by the spiritual master, engagement in devotional service under the instructions of a spiritual master, steadiness in devotional service, and the awakening of a taste for devotional service. In this way, one can become attached to Krishna and his service, and when this attachment is intensified, it results in ecstatic love for Krishna. The word rati is explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as follows. Vyaktam masrinani masrinate vantar lakshate rati lakshanam mukshu prabhritinam chet bhaved esha ratir nahi. When a tenderness of the heart is manifest, there is rati, or attachment. Those who are interested in being liberated from material bondage must manifest this tenderness called rati. This attachment is not like material attachment. When one is liberated from material contamination, the awakening of attachment for Krishna's service is called rati. In the material world, there is attachment for material enjoyment. But this is not rati. Transcendental rati can be awakened only on the spiritual platform. Ecstatic love for Krishna, prema, is described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as follows. Samyam masranita svanto mamatva shaya shankya shankitaha bhavasa eva sandratma buddhai prema nigadyate. When the heart is completely softened and devoid of all material desires, and when one's emotional feelings become very strong, one becomes very much attached to Krishna. Such purified emotion is known as pure love. We need to purity. We are emotional beings. We cannot deny the heart or our emotions. When we are buffeted against the rocks of the world, as waves are smashed or dashed against the rocks on the shore, we become reactive, cold, hard-hearted, defensive, closed, It's not a very pleasant world. We think, do unto others before they do unto us. And Srila Prabhupada, our acharyas, Lord Krishna, they're trying to help us to melt our hearts, to become tender, to become soft and pure, spontaneous, ecstatically, emotionally in love with Krishna. Bhakunam Janmanam Ante Gyanavan Mam Prapadyante Vasudeva Sarvam. This is the culmination of all knowledge. You can become as scholarly as you like. Yavanata Udapane Sarvata Samputodike Tavan Sarveshu Vedeshu Brahmanashu Vijanata. You can go through all the Vedas, but unless you develop the essence, the essential love, the whole purpose of Vedic knowledge is to bring you to the point of loving devotional service for Krishna and subsequently all of Krishna's parts and parcels. If we want to make the world a better place, if we want to live in a world, in our own world, in our international society world, then we have to learn how to love Krishna, how to surrender to Krishna. Yasmin vigyatam sarvam evam vigyatam bhavati. By loving Krishna, automatically you will learn to love everyone, including yourself. People tell you that, I saw somebody died, I forget, I'm just reading about him. In America, what was his name? Somebody who was very famous with children. He had a children's program that was on the television for 30 years running. It was so popular. Neighborhood program. I don't know what it was. Anyway, it was very popular program for children and therefore for adults also, because this man had a particular way of respecting children and communicating with children, and they all loved him. He died at 74 or something, stomach cancer. Anyway, the point was his message to people, I noticed one of them was to learn to love others and to love yourself. And this is a popular theme. I have to find myself. I have to know myself. I have to love myself. And I have no idea what myself is. Big problem. How can you love someone you don't know? To wit, yourself. So, when you know who Krishna is, when you understand Krishna, just like the song Udila Arana Purava Vaje, when the sun comes up, when you see that Arana, the redness on the horizon, although it was night, it was dark, you couldn't see anything, but as you see the sun coming up, you also are able to see yourself more clearly. You're able to see your house, you're able to see your car. As the sun first makes its appearance, as you see the sun, you see yourself. And similarly, as we see Krishna, we'll also understand nicely who we are. We may go on an initial premise. Prabhupada was talking in a lecture I heard recently about evolution. And he said, yes, evolution is right, but it is right in this way, that there is evolution in consciousness. There's evolution in change of body. Dehi nosmin yatha dehe komanam yovanam jara tatha te antara prapti. So what's the difficulty to understand? It's very simple. So I was thinking that the Darwinists, or the neo-Darwinists, have their theory, which they're trying to prove. They have not proven, but they're trying to prove, and they have a little evidence. Of course, that evidence could be used this way or that way. It could be used to disprove evolution also, with a little jugglery. The same evidence could be used to disprove. So we also have our theory, but it's far more reasonable. Because we see. We don't have to search for some missing links. We don't have to search for some missing links. I think in England they call sausages links, right? You call them links somewhere. Maybe it's vegetarian sausage, you call them links. Missing links. They haven't found, they promised, Darwin promised us that very soon, within a few years, the missing parts of the equation, the missing fossils, the missing links that would link us to the complete evolution of species would be found. And what a bluffer. But here we see, from boyhood to youth to middle age to old age, the body is changing. What is so difficult to understand? We don't have to search for any missing links. Right here, the body is changing. You see it. And the two little babies were brought today to the temple. I can guarantee you, you bring them back in 20 years, they'll have completely different bodies. It doesn't take a big brain to understand that, because we see it every day. The body is changing, but the soul is not. The person is not. So what's so difficult to understand? That death is just another change of body. At least in our theory, we have some very practical, discernible evidence. It's not ambiguous, out of sight, to be discovered. It's going on as a daily happening, right in front of us. So, the whole process of spiritual life is more or less a process of common sense. But people who are stone-hearted, who are determined, mad, you can't convince them. Matir nakrishne paratasvatova mito vipadeta griha pratanam. They're determined not to understand, and they are determined to go to hell. Adanta gobir vishata tamisham. They will enjoy, and there will be the law diminishing return. Punapunas charita charvanana. They'll chew and chew and chew. And maybe someday they'll have enough intelligence to realize that there's nothing here. No actual enjoyment. What people call enjoyment is just chewing the chewed. And ultimately it only leads to frustration. To teach such pig-headed people is very, very difficult. Prabhupada said it's like trying to wash coal. Very difficult to wash coal. It's like trying to feed medicine to a pig. Someone has to hold the back legs. Pigs are very slippery animals because they're always rolling in the mud and grease and stool, whatever. So one person has to hold the back legs, one person has to hold the front legs, one person has to open the mouth, one person has to put the medicine. very difficult. And trying to preach to pig-headed people is very difficult. Because they don't want to understand. What is common sense, they cannot get it. So they will not develop the soft heart. They will not develop love for Krishna. They will develop love for illusion, for suffering. And out of compassion, para dukkha dukkhi, we have to try to help such people. By practicing ourselves, the best way to teach is to set a good example. I can't hear what you say because what you do is speaking so loudly. I'm deafened by what you do, therefore I can't hear what you're saying. Don't talk of spiritual life as much as practice, achar. Prachar is important, but if there's no achar, a self-realized person, even if he's not a flamboyant speaker, even if he's not a good articulator, even if he's not the most scholarly person, but his example speaks volumes to those who are searching for spiritual life. So sadachar is so important, practice. And then to share, to expose people to the philosophy and to the practical application. What does a Brahmin do? Patan patan. He studies the scripture. Patan. And patan. He teaches people the scripture. And yajan, yajan. He performs rituals, or you can say devotional service, for himself, for his family, but he also engages others. He does not think, and we should not think, this community will be successful, like all of our other Krishna conscious communities. It will be successful when we engage people in seva puja, when we embrace, not when we are defensive, that if I don't monopolize all the devotional service, then what will I do? There's so much to do, practically speaking. This is a congregational movement. What do we do? What is Sankirtan? It's congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And that's also bhakti yoga. It's congregational worship of the deity, of the Lord. Brahmacharis are very rare, actual brahmacharis who are free from any type of lusty desires and who have no desire for family life, who want to give up everything. Practically everyone else, Prabhupada said in one room conversation, that everyone should go through the four ashramas, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. Those who are fixed, they can avoid. Those who are convinced, those who are staunch. But if someone is not 100% convinced, then he will be grihastha, and this movement will go on by engaging grihasthas in practical devotional service. And the priests in the temple, that is their business, yajan, engaging others in devotional service. So we should be concerned. See the suffering of conditioned souls and see how to engage them in bhakti yoga so they can give up their material attachments so that their hearts can melt and they can feel feel ecstatic happiness, ananda, anandam bodhidvardhanam, an ocean of transcendental bliss, and they will experience that. If any of us have experienced even a drop of the pleasure of devotional service, we never could have imagined that our activities, when we first looked upon the devotees and their activities, we could not have imagined that someday we would be performing those activities and we would be feeling such pleasure that no amount of material pleasure that we had previously experienced can even compare with the tiny drop. And understanding that tiny drop, we can understand a little bit about the entire ocean of devotion, the entire ocean of nectar, ever increasing, ananda. So ananda cannot be compared to sukh and dukh, a totally different concept, ever increasing, unlimited joy, as opposed to relative happiness, its concomitant factor, dukkha. The one who is enjoying, suffering is imminent. And for one who is suffering, enjoyment is imminent. It is coming. But there's no happiness, no satisfaction. So, this is the mentality of a devotee. So I'll stop there. Are there any questions or comments? Yes. Joy. Are you following me around?
As Prabhupada mentioned, also you mentioned several times about if we love Krishna, the father of everyone, and we're able to love each other. But also the basis, we're talking about the difference with each other, that in order to know divine love, we must know human love first. And we see some of our misdeeds with our society, and even someone who's sitting next to you, you may pass them every day and say hello to the person. So how can we preach, you know, prema bhakti if we can't even say hello to the person next to you? So on a basic practical level, on a human level, should we know human love first before we can understand divine love?
Well, I think the premise is not quite correct. You may hate everybody in the world, but if you develop love for Krishna somehow or other, you will develop a love for him. Love me, love my dog, you know, you'll develop love for all the dogs. But still, practically speaking, what is my svarthagatim, what is in my self-interest? Well, it's quite obvious that most of us, perhaps you being accepted, most of us will take a long time to develop pure devotional service. And in the interim, we have to spend our time in this world in association with other people, other seekers, in this case, devotees. So it is just common sense that we should learn to perhaps not love as much as respect the integrity of those who are endeavoring to develop devotee service. Because by their association, one way or another, I will become inspired. Either I will be inspired by their positive example as devotees of the Lord, or I will see their mistakes and learn from them and make progress myself. So either way, I need the association of people who are endeavoring to come to the path of devotional service. And I would say that before we can practice pure devotional service, we have to become human beings. In other words, just because we have two legs and arms and a head and etc., doesn't mean that we're necessarily human beings. And there's a certain etiquette, there's a certain mentality, there's a certain mood of someone, of a human being. Animals act for their sense gratification. Prabhupada said that until you take up varnashram, dharma, you're not really a human being. So it stands to reason that devotees who are human beings should be respectful towards other devotees. Now, we do have a tendency to love. That's spontaneous, it's natural, and we do want to repose that in Krishna. But for the time being, we are loving Krishna in the form of his deity. We're cultivating love. We're expressing whatever sentiments we have emanating from our cold but warming, you know, global warming. Well, amongst the devotees, there's global heartwarming. And whatever sentiments we are developing, we're trying to repose them in the deity. So the deity is, after all, Sagun. It is Krishna, but with material attributes. In one sense, although we don't see Shila, but at one time, Radha Gokulananda was under the feet of a Murtiwala, as marble, stone. So if we can learn to love stone or appreciate it, then surely we can learn to love Vaishnavas, that the Anam Samarchanam. Now this is in our self-interest, mind you. I may not feel that love as much as I recognize it as my path to open my own heart, to open my own spiritual gaze of inspection, as Prabhupada would say, bhaktisthana, to open my own spiritual life. I need to have association of devotees, and the only way to associate with devotees is, nobody's going to associate with you if you are nasty. There are examples of devotees who their character was not good. All right, they maybe come under the category of persons who are sudurachar. Nobody wants to associate with. They're devotees, and even they could become great devotees, but nobody wants to associate with them. And for most of us, we need that helping hand, the dhyanam samarchanam. We need the association of devotees to help us. In fact, you will find that in the course of a lifetime of devotional service, there are going to be times when you are severely tested. Your faith will be tested. Your steadiness will be tested. Your courage will be tested. And there will be times where you may falter. You may not have the strength to push on. You may get bewildered. And if you don't have the association of devotees to encourage you, you could succumb to the witch of Maya. You could drown. It has happened to some very big fish. So we need that, and therefore the only way to get that association, an association of people who do care, just like the worst thing you can get from a Vaishnava is to be ignored by them. Just as this Advaitacharya felt that he was being ignored by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore he began to preach Mayavadi philosophy, which he knew was anathema to Lord Chaitanya. And he knew it would get a reaction. And it got a reaction. Lord Chaitanya began to beat him. And he thought, oh, I'm blessed. At least he's not ignoring me. So, if you want to have devotees, in other words, I would consider the greatest failure of my life, even though I have lots of friends around the world, but I would consider the greatest failure of my life if I started to fall into Maya and someone didn't come forward to save me. This is my protection. So it's my calculation. Of course I like devotees, but love is reserved for Krishna first. If I ever learn to love Krishna, then maybe I will know how to love devotees. But intelligent, respect, mature, human dignity, and that we have to learn. Okay. Is it getting late?
I don't know. We can stay another hour.
Sunday, the day after, the night before. For me. Any other questions?
Alright. Sorry. Thank you.